Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name's Adam Lavas. Thanks for joining us for episode 44. After a fortnight off, mate, we've had a couple of busy weeks.
And Adam, I think some of our regular listeners, if they listened to last week's bulletin, would have a question for you. And that question would be, how did the grade two sleepover go last week?
It actually went better than I expected.
Well, let's just remind our listeners who maybe didn't catch the bulletin that it was on a Friday night last week.
Yeah, Friday night to go with a Tuesday night PD till 6 o'clock that week as well. So it was a big week. I have to say that it was a big week. But the kids were really good in the sense that we had a dinner, we played some games, watched Cool Runnings. Always good at Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings is a great movie.
An old classic. It does transcend generations, that film.
It does. I still almost tear up at the end there where they put the sled on the shoulders and walk down, and the dad, the dad's on the sidelines, he looks at his son and he pulls the shirt open with the Jamaica. Oh, I have to look away. I almost have to look away.
it's interesting though, because we watched that film in the last 12 months with a class, and it is one of the few films I know that has, I'll say it again, transcended generations. Yeah. A lot of films that we enjoyed as kids don't really translate for the generation you and I teach as much. That's one that does. I wonder what it is.
It's really good, and it's got some really good messages in there and really good quotes. One of the quotes I really like is when they come up and everyone stops to stare at them and make fun of them, and one of them questions, says why, and the response from one of the other Jamaican bobsledders is because we're different, people are always afraid of what's different. Kind of trying to say that it's actually okay, there's nothing wrong with these guys. They're just trying something different. So there's lots of really good messages in it.
And it is quite funny, isn't it?
Great movie.
Did you get much sleep?
I did, actually. I actually slept on the sick bay bed. It was actually long enough for me to fit on there. I took my doona in. But what happened was, I don't know if you've been, when this has happened on camp, but we said the kids go to sleep. Most of them fell asleep straight away, but there was a few scragglers who, one would get up to go to the toilet, and then the other one would go, I can't go to sleep, so I might go to the toilet as well. And then there's kind of four or five. And I got up and stomped out there and said, right, that's it, I don't have to go to sleep. Bang, 10 heads straight down on the pillow. Didn't hear after that. So I woke up a few times, but could have been a lot worse.
Well, sleeping on the sick bay bed, I hope you got a note to attend the sick bay from a yard duty teacher.
Of course I did, mate. I wouldn't go in there otherwise. So
we can only make teacher jokes on the podcast, can't we?
We can. So, no, it was really good, mate. But I know that in discussions you and I have had a busy couple of weeks. I know you've had concerts recently. You've had dinners to go to and just a lot of things on as well.
Yeah, last night I had to attend a Rotary Association dinner for some of our students that have completed the Junior Rotary Award. But I guess having a week off, Adam, means that we've got some fresh topics, and we've been able to really delve into what's in the news a bit and what's been happening at our school. So it's quite a mixed bag, and I think stuff that will generate some passionate discussion tonight.
It will, mate. So let's get into it.
Adam, the first topic tonight comes from an article that you shared during the week, and it really starts, this whole topic starts with the word bully. And it's one of those words that gets a lot of people fired up, particularly parents and members of the community. Probably a word that gets a lot of educators at first a bit wary, like, oh, not that word again. I'm certainly not downgrading the topic at all, but amazing to see in the Herald Sun. Now, I've got my own opinions on that. However, as you mentioned, it made a lot of news. I don't think it was just in this newspaper, but in the Herald Sun during the week, a school not too far away from us, Adam, and it's named in the article, Torquay College. I had an article about a mum who's gone to the papers about her 9-year-old son suffering concussion after being kicked in the head by a bully. Now, we've brought up the topic, I guess, just to talk about the issue in general, haven't we? But there's a photo as well. Amazing, really, that it's got this far. I know if I was a parent myself, I'd be reluctant to put it out there. But I guess this family want the message out there.
It's funny, too, because if you read the article, This student has clearly been bullied all year, and that's what the mum says. He's been bullied all year, and this has led up to this kick in the head. Now, how that's happened, I don't know. I mean, the kid must be some sort of karate way to get to leg up to kick him in the head. But it talks about how the school actually made some efforts initially to sort this out. One of them being mediation, which the family knocked back because they didn't want their child to sit in with the bully, which to me makes no sense. I mean, the mediation process is to get an understanding for that bully, to understand how they're making someone feel, to take some responsibility for their behaviour. They also, the school actually said, well, how about we actually move your son to another classroom? And they knocked that back and said, why does our son have to move? So they've knocked a few things back, but then they're happy to plaster their 9-year-old son all over the papers with a picture. So rather than try and fix it there, no, put him out there and make him feel even worse for other people to potentially target him, which can happen. Let's put him out there and do that and almost make it worse. It doesn't make sense to me, Regan. It kind of got my back up a little bit, because schools really do. We do make a really concerted effort to fix it, but we're not perfect, are we?
Well, we're not. You and I have worked in schools. I think we've both worked in schools that take these things seriously. And I just, interesting point you make. We have to go on face value now. And again, this is in the. I know it's in the newspapers, but if we take the incident on face value, if let's say the child was on the ground in a game of sport and they were kicked in the head intentionally, the mediation as the first option is a concern, because that is a serious incident. Now, I would think mediation is not on the. In my opinion, mediation is not on the agenda. If that is purely what the incident was, you know, it is. Yep. It should be the aggressor. The consequence needs to be dealt with. I can understand if the mother's worry there, but again, this is what we're getting from the newspaper, isn't it? We don't know the actual ins and outs.
That's right.
We will never know.
No, we won't. And they've conveniently left that out, have they? He's kind of been kicked in the head. How's it happened? Was it by accident? Well, and he's taken it as being kicked in the head. Was it deliberate? Did the kid actually literally go up to him and kick him in the back of the head? Because as you say, if that's happening, then I mean that's physical violence. Yeah. That's almost grounds for something like a suspension.
Would some argue? Do you think that it doesn't matter? Like what the kind of nitty gritty elements are of it? That it's a kick in the head. It's funny you say that. It actually happened at our school not long ago, purely accidental in a game of soccer. It was actually one of my students went to headbutt a ball, whereas the other kid went up to knee it and sort of leg it and clocked him really bad. He had to go home.
Mm.
But I talked to a lot of the boys and found out that it was purely accidental. Mm. And all the parties involved said it was.
But you know what you did there, though? But you actually went out and found out about it. Mm. You know, sometimes it's easy to hear that and some people might jump to conclusions. The parents at home might jump to conclusions. The kid goes, "Someone got kicked in the head." Bang, off they go. And they don't actually come up and go, "What happened?" Well, it was during a game of sport and this is what he went to do. The other student just went to this. It was a total accident. But you've actually gone and followed it up, which is something we should do more often.
We have to back, like you and I are in the job, we have to back the school here, don't we? And you were saying, you imagine that the school would have put in the processes and would have taken it seriously. Yep. Now, it appears in the article that the family believe that they haven't. It does say that the child had to make a trip to the emergency department in Geelong. Now, I'm certainly not disputing that.
Can I interject there too? I mean, again, they conveniently leave out. I mean, you might have gone there, but it may have just been a mere precaution. Some people like to, it may have been really bad. It may not have been. You know, they've just gone to check it out. Again, conveniently leaves that out.
Well, that's right. Now, we are, like, I guess we're having pretty clear opinions on this, but look, we've decided to talk about it because it is in the newspaper, it's out there in the public domain. These people are named and there are a lot of comments which we won't go into under the article. But just in bullying in general, Adam, I think I just want to talk for a second about the restorative side of things. Some people have really, a lot of teachers I know have very passionate points of view on the restorative process with disputes in the yard or in class. And I think, though, talking, just getting back to how the school offered mediation, I think in most instances, including maybe some physical stuff going on, if both parties have been physically involved, I still think some mediation can work. Yeah. I don't think it's not as if that shouldn't work.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I think talking about it and actually, you know, particularly the bully who's actually doing the bullying, actually trying to get them to understand what it is that they're doing and how it upsets or hurts emotionally, physically, that other student is actually really, really important. If he's gone and done something wrong and then you just come in and blast them and suspend them and do these things, I actually think that will only upset the bully further. You know, you kind of want to see him and go, look, do you actually understand the choices that you've made and how those choices have been wrong? Let's talk through it and actually go over it and try and actually, use those restorative practices and restore their understanding of how bad bullying is and how they can actually change their behaviours.
Yeah, but I think sometimes there just does have to be a consequence for something really serious that.
The
kids need to know. So, look, the mother wrote to the Education Minister, James Molino, so it's gone, and apparently it was mentioned in Parliament by the opposition, of course.
Yep.
So it has been interesting that it's gone that far.
Yep. But can I interject there for a second? Just before we finish off as well, I think what other people need to understand too is bullying is a really fine line and a really tough thing for teachers to deal with. You know, particularly if it's the he said, she said sort of thing. You know, if someone comes in and says, he said this to me, the other student says, no, I didn't. You try and find any witnesses, there's no one there. What do you do? I mean, if I punish that the bullying person who's potentially said these things and hasn't, and they go home and say, I was punished for not doing anything. Well, up comes that parent. Mm. If I don't punish that one, the other kid goes home and said, this kid said this, they didn't get into trouble. Here comes that parent to tell me off. And you've got to kind of go, well, I'm not a detective. I'm not Hercule Poirot who can find out all these things off the top of my head. It can be a really tough situation for teachers to deal with.
No, it is. It's really hard. And I think it's even harder for bullying or teasing that happens just purely verbally, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Sometimes the physical aspect is actually the easiest to solve, isn't it? I'm sure people have got lots of big opinions on this. You may share them with us, or you might just share your opinion on just bullying or restorative practice or mediation in general.
The second topic I want to look at with you tonight, Rick, is about the disability funding in government schools. Now, I don't know about you in your teaching career, but I know mine over the journey. I've had to fill out many forms that potentially will support students with disabilities or who've recently been diagnosed with a disability in the terms of getting them funding. Now, generally, it's really tough for schools to get funding. These students, you fill out the forms, you do a lot of these things, and then they're above in something, and therefore you get written back and say, sorry, they've just passed this one, so therefore they don't have any funding, when clearly you can see them and you can see the change it would make if they got the funding and that support. What I'm talking about today is that private schools find it very, very easy to get that funding, while government schools sometimes end up scraping the barrel, and I don't think that's fair, mate.
Why is that, Adam? Because I know this is an area that my knowledge is not as strong. Is that because there's more money in the coffers for private schools or not?
I think so. I think they can actually put their hands in their pockets, and you know, they're what people pay to go to those schools is more, and that sort of stuff. But I think it comes back to also the idea of a lot of the private schools get a lot of that funding. You know, it's spoken about a lot, isn't it, that these private schools get a lot of funding, they get a lot of that support, so it's easy for them to tap into that. Whereas, you know, to actually get more money to get an aide or support staff or things like that is so hard. And what happens sometimes is I don't think the people who are giving out this funding, they need to send people out to come and have a look at the school. Mm. You know, writing it down on a piece of paper only tells a portion of the story. Mm. Come out, spend a day in my classroom and see this student and look at it and go, if they did that, they would go, gee, this, I can see the support that this student needs and the positive impact it would have. And they just miss that.
Think of, I think of public school prep teachers or foundation teachers who work in the first year of a student's school life and have to fill out a myriad of those forms, because really that's where a lot of kids first, maybe their disability might be diagnosed. Mm. And someone very close to me is the only prep teacher at their school, and you know, has had a huge time for the last 2 years as a graduate filling out those forms and hoping for funding. And I want to touch on what you just said, but sometimes when you've got, and I know this person in their first year had about 6 students who required that process to go through, 6 students in one class. That was a moment when you feel like saying to the higher authorities, come in for a day and just watch.
And because the filling out the forms is time consuming. You know, and
it's all done at home.
Exactly right. There you go. And they don't get an understanding of who this student is. You can only write so much, you can only circle so much. They don't really get an understanding of who this student is, and it's not fair. It's really detrimental to that. And I'm going to actually touch on our school. We got on the front foot about that, and credit to our leadership team. They actually pay a speech pathologist or therapist, I can't remember which one, call it the speechy, who actually comes in and works with the preps and any at-low students straight away. So in prep, if they have any of these things, she actually takes them away and works with them and does some things with them to give them the best start possible, because we just weren't getting that. Too many kids end up on waiting lists, they don't get the funding, so we thought, well, stuff that, we're going to actually put our money into something and get someone in here to do this stuff. And you can see the changes, you can see already the kids coming through have more confidence and more ability to deal with situations than they would have in the past.
Have you ever filled out that one, Adam? I can't remember what it was called. I think it's called Vine, and it comes from the United States.
Yes.
And you've got there's a couple of questions on there. Can they identify a penny?
Yeah.
A nickel.
All those. But again,
give us the Australian one.
But how lazy is that, though? Why are they giving us an American one? Mm. Why aren't these people who are being paid big bucks actually developing one that's Australian, but I'm getting an American one about pennies? That's ridiculous.
It's interesting there's not a diagnostic version of it that has all those sorts of questions on it, Australian tailored.
But surely some bloke with a beard and a bald head out there could actually put something together for us, surely.
Yep. It says it was interesting that Meredith Peace from the AEU was quoted as saying that the federal government she has stated, has broken its promise to deliver a disability loading to school. So thinking about what you just talked about, your school is employed a speech therapist, but a lot of schools apparently are without those resources, speech therapists and in-class support.
Yep.
I imagine that would be pretty true.
Yep, it is. It is. One of the other things too, before we finish this one up, is that it's really tough, I've found as well, teaching in 5-6 for a lot of my career is when I've had students who have had the funding going on to high school, it's really hard to get the funding to translate from primary school to high school. And there is those parents rightfully worry and go, what's going to happen when they get there and they haven't got that support and they haven't got those sorts of things? How are they actually going to go? You know, it's really hard to justify it, and the department and the government want to actually give that sort of stuff. I know a lot of schools, a lot of high schools actually have, they employ people that sort of help with that, but that's really hard as well. And I know in that article as well that we'll have on the blog, that one student, you know, had an aide for 3 days a week and then lost it completely when they got to secondary school. Now, their disability doesn't cease when they get to secondary school, does it? They don't get, you know, you've graduated, congratulations, and all the problems they have disappear. Yeah, just doesn't work like that.
No, that's right. You want that transition to be smooth, if possible.
Absolutely.
And I guess some of it comes down to also continuing to reskill staff on how to help these students that might have a disability.
That's right. So if you've had to fill in any of those forms or had any actual problems, you know, getting funding for some students who really need it, we'd love to hear from you. And for me as well, I don't know for you, Rick, I'd love to hear about anything your school is doing proactively. Like I know we've mentioned our speech therapist, but if your school employs anyone else or does anything outside of that, we'd love to hear about it to share with the rest of the listeners.
So, Adam, the third topic is a topic that has polarised the media this week, and it's about a school in Broadmeadows, primary school, that allowed some Shiite Muslim students to be excused from singing the Australian National Anthem during assembly because they were observing it's the month of mourning, Muharram, I think pronounced that correctly, which marks the death of Imam Hussein. And during that time, Shiites not to participate in joyful events, which include listening to music and singing. And there's been quite a very polarised view from sort of both sides about whether the principal, it should just be, no, this is the culture of our school, that's Australian society. Mm. And then there's the other side of saying, well, no, it's being inclusive, it's allowing them to. So I guess let's play around with it and see where we got. The article we've got on the blog is from Kevin Donnelly, who did the last review into the Australian curriculum, quite a conservative character.
Yeah.
It's an interesting opinion piece. Mm. I advise you to read it. You might get frustrated depending on what side you're on. But I don't know, Adam, let's get some of your thoughts.
It's tough, mate, because we want to aim to be respectful. What we started this podcast off with, you know, it's two other teachers. These are the sort of things that can happen. And this could happen to you or I ourselves, so, you know, at any time.
And I think we should put it as a disclaimer. And we've said this before, but if you're listening for the first time, you and I work in schools where predominantly the population is Anglo.
Yes.
It'd be nice to get Lee Burns back on to talk about this because...
Yes.
In our last episode, last term, he spoke about the range of cultures and nationalities he has in his school.
It is. It's a tough one, though. I remember when it first came out a couple of days ago, and it's really polarised. It's all over the media at the moment, which, again, doesn't help. It's really tough because my first thoughts of it were the national anthem has nothing to do with religion. And to allow people to go out there as they are observing their religious beliefs... It doesn't have... The national anthem, to me, is about Australian culture. A lot of the Muslims and things and it's, you know, looking at Islam, they are... That's to do with religion and being an Australian citizen. They would be Australian citizens. To be an Australian citizen, our national anthem is part of our culture, and that is something that I think that we should respect and actually sing. But... There's both sides to the coin here. It really is a tough thing to argue on either side for.
I've been trying really hard to form what my opinion is. And the more I've been thinking about it, and that's even just before we started recording tonight, is that I kind of think that the principal is trying to make a responsible decision and being inclusive. And I think, you know, if the parents had contacted the school and said, look, it's this time of the month for these students, and we would respect if they just maybe didn't sing national anthem. I don't see it as a big. I'm starting to not see it as a big deal. And if you've got a very diverse population, of students in your school, then you are still, I still think that you are respecting them. They'd still be at assembly. I mean, it's kind of like, I was at a wedding the other week, Adam, and I'm happy to admit I'm not religious. I don't say all
Amen and
prayer. I don't. And it's not me being, because I'm an atheist or anything like that. It's just, I don't relate to it. It's not part of my makeup. So
I think you're right, and I agree in some ways. Could the principal have handled it better? Now, the way it went is they went in there, they started the assembly, went to say it, and then allowed those students to actually stand up in front of everyone and leave. Could the principal
Is that true?
Well, that's what's been reported, that's actually what happened, that they were in there. We might have to read up on that a little bit more and follow that up. But what I'm trying to say is could the principal have actually spoke to those students and said, look, maybe we'll have a teacher hang out and look after you in a classroom and just don't come to assembly at all, rather than bring the focus to it and get them actually to stand up and walk away. Then everyone starts going, Rick, everyone starts going, why are they leaving? Why aren't they doing it? And then the word gets around, and then, of course, parents fire up and it all happens. Couldn't they have just kept them out? And so they could respect their religious beliefs without making a big thing of it.
Well, this might be something that's been misreported, because what I read and what is said in the opinion piece that we will share on the blog was that they were excused from singing the national anthem.
Yes.
What I read was that they weren't excused from attending the assembly. So I don't know anything about them leaving.
But that's what I mean, that they were excused from singing. I'm of the belief that they actually left. We'd have to check that out. But what I'm trying to say is that I think they even said it on the microphone at assembly and actually spoke about it. Did they need to do that? Could they have just spoken to them before and said, look, if you don't want to sing it and to, you know, observe your, you know, what's happening with your religion, just don't sing it.
I think
don't sing.
I think that would be fine. I think that was, because then they, some kids don't sing anyway, Adam, because
they don't know the words.
That's what we find, But it's just touching on the national anthem. It's an interesting one. You mentioned, you know, it's part of our culture. And, you know, a lot of people think that it's just a hark back to our British colony days. Mm. And I think, the only time when I get stirred by the national anthem is, and it must be in there somewhere because I'm Australian, is sometimes at the Aussie Rules Grand Final moments in sport.
Mm.
I know that we certainly, it's not really sung with much gusto around a lot of Australian schools, where I know that in New Zealand it's certainly sung with some gusto at some schools.
I also think, though, that I don't think Australian schools push it enough. I think it's just part of the assembly. The kids stand up, they do it. Everyone takes, make sure you got your hat off, you know, it's a hat turn, make sure your hat's off, and then they get up and do it and they sit down. I don't think it's actually something that's taught, and actually we speak to the kids about being respectful of the national anthem. But look, Rick, we honestly, you and I could probably talk about this for a while. It is a really touchy subject, and what you and I want to get across to our listeners is that while we, neither of us are necessarily religious, we do respect everyone's different religions and that they practice that and they do all those sorts of things. But also at the same time, there is that idea of, you know, it's a part of the Australian culture. Could it have been handled a little bit differently? There may be people. The one thing I hate, though, is an article. These articles as they come out, all the patriotic Australians who come out fired up and, well, that's like this, and if you don't like our country, nick off and do all this sort of stuff. We don't need that. Those sorts of arguments of people talking like that, it only makes it worse. Now, actually have a think about what you're saying before you say it.
Yeah, so, okay, to finish off, we've talked about the logistics. So were the students asked to leave and people saw it, and we don't know that for sure.
Yep.
I actually don't have Kevin Donnelly mentions that they need to be taught to acknowledge and celebrate our national institutions. I just don't think the national anthem at assembly is that big a deal.
No.
Just a time of the month where these students are observing that, because that is part of their culture. So I think it's been blown out a bit too much.
I'll finish this question. Had he not made a big deal out of it at assembly, spoken to the kids privately and said, look, if you want to stand up and not do it, don't do it, etc., etc., would this be in the media right now?
Yeah, maybe not. But again, we don't know whether that was actually what happened. Yeah.
No, we don't. So look, there's a lot of things to go there. But look, I'm sure people have opinions on it. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. All right, mate, I'm looking forward to this. It is anecdote time. Over to you.
Well, Adam, on Friday, it's World Teachers Day, isn't it?
It is. I've actually got my badge on. I've got,
got your badge.
Teachers Inspire, the Dreams of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I thought maybe it'd be nice to take a trip down memory lane and just mention those who have come before us, Adam.
Mm.
So
okay.
This morning before I went to work in preparation, I went through the archives and I've been able to dig up, Adam, and you'll be happy, you might be happy about this, all my school reports from primary school and high school.
Yep.
Now, talking about World Teachers Day, Adam, World Teachers Day should be celebrated because teachers work hard.
Yep.
Let's just look at a couple of my school reports from primary school, Adam.
Yep.
to see what kind of comments were written, to see whether the teachers we had really earned their World Teachers Day. Now, you can hear me opening this.
Yep.
Adam, how many pages are in this report that I just
opened? It's sort of, you open it up and it's you know, two pages there and one on the back. It's kind of like a...
It's a pamphlet.
It's a pamphlet, yeah. It's an A3 sort of one, double-sided almost. It's not even A3, really.
Maybe we'll take a picture of it and put it on the blog so people can see, Adam. So, reading. Okay, now think of all the progression points that we have to tick off during... I just got very good progress, tick. Which is good for me. A fluent reader, sound comprehension skills, enjoys reading books on a wide range of topics. End of sentence. Yep. Nothing about inferring or evaluative language, or so that's quite easy, isn't it?
What, do you need that, though? That tells me all you need to know. He's fluent, understands it, he enjoys it.
Oh,
what more do you need?
Anyway,
sorry. Can I have a look at that one, though? Can I just say to our listeners, he happened to overlook the... there is one here that is just satisfactory progress, which was his... I think it's for your handwriting there, I think.
Hey,
handwriting is well controlled, a neat style maintained in all written work, but it's only satisfactory. Now, was your handwriting lazy?
That's year five. Look at the handwriting of the teacher. It is pristine.
It is.
She's giving... she's got a high level. My handwriting
is fine. Yeah, but so she should.
Let's just go to another one, shall we? Now, different handwriting. This is year six. It says, I got handwriting low again. Presentation of book work is good. That's all the... I just want to bring this up, Adam. Think of all the comments that you and I have written over the years.
Yeah.
The amount of words up in the tens of thousands.
Mm.
And in the 80s, this is what they were able to do.
Well, that's 91.
I will take this... 91 it is. Yeah. It's early 90s. So, I'll take a snapshot of these. I don't want to go too hard on these teachers.
No.
Particularly the last one... that we just read was a lovely teacher. I have very fond memories. But anyway, so the old primary school report, it's just a pamphlet. Okay?
Yep.
Let's just move in. I've got a couple of good anecdotes for you, Adam.
Okay.
Let's just move, shall we, into high school. So, Adam, the high school reports came in a little booklet, and each subject has its own little piece of paper, as you can see here. Mm. You can see that, can't you? Now, I just want to tell you a little anecdote about a phys ed teacher we had in high school. Mm. Any of my old high school friends listening will know. So in year nine, in the year 1994, I had a really close friend in my home group, and he left, his family moved to New South Wales. Mm. And on the first day of phys ed in second semester, because he left about the middle of the year, this phys ed teacher still called out his name on the roll. And I remember we all laughed and went, no, he's left. And we thought, that's quite odd, isn't it? He wasn't called out again on the roll. But obviously somewhere in the school system, his name was still on there.
Yeah.
But this probably goes to show how much work this phys ed teacher is putting into his report. So let's just find my year nine phys ed report, right? Look, we won't go through all the ticks, but the comment says, Rick has worked and participated well in all activities. Full stop. Now,
that's it.
Now, this is a true story.
Yep.
On the day that these reports were handed out at the end of year nine, there was a phys ed report, and our home group teacher, she handed them all out, and she called it, the very last one she called out was, oh no, hang on, Alistair? No, and Alistair was the one who'd left and moved to New South Wales. The phys ed teacher had written a phys ed report for Alistair, who was living in New South Wales. And do you know what he wrote?
What?
Alistair has worked and participated well in all activities. It was the same comment as the one in my report.
No.
That is absolutely true.
You'd love to compare, wouldn't you? How many got such and such has worked well in all activities. That is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Didn't even notice. Theory's gone.
Unbelievable. Now, can I finish with this, Adam?
I've
got one to finish with.
Go for it.
Okay, so in year seven, my first year in high school, 1992, we had to do some electives that were compulsory. So one of them was ceramics.
Interesting subject.
With all due respect to people who are doing clay making as a profession. But now, Adam, I got pneumonia in year seven.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Quite serious. I was in hospital for a few days. I had about a month off school. I was
sickly... Kind of not surprised to hear that, actually, knowing your track record.
sickly little child. Okay. I missed, just by chance, it was in the term when ceramics was on.
Mm.
Now, listen to the report that I got from my ceramics teacher after being away for most of that term.
Okay.
Couldn't help it. I was sick as a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. I got satisfactory for everything.
Yep.
Submission of set work, sometimes late. Well, I wasn't bloody there. Okay, here you go. Due to Ricky... Now, my full name is Ricky, for those listeners who don't know. Here we go. Due to Ricky's prolonged absence from ceramics, he only managed to develop a very basic understanding of the skills required in this subject. Okay, fair enough. When Ricky was in class earlier in the term, he developed excellent socialising skills. Unfortunately, this is not a strong component encouraged in ceramics. Sarcasm on the report. Listen to this. Ricky's pig broke before assessment, and he was absent when making the table.
Ricky's pig broke.
Now, she's not only has she been sarcastic about my talking in class, which, what, there's worse things you could do.
Yep.
She's then rubbed salt in the wound about the little pig that I made with clay broke before assessment. Like, what, just, she's kicked me. Yeah. Like, she's pushed me over and she's kicking me.
It's kind of like she didn't believe you had pneumonia and you had to be away, so I'm going to get him back. Adam, cop this, Rick.
In our first...
that's brilliant.
In our first segment tonight, we talked about bullies. Talk about bullying in your report. So there you go. All work submitted? No. Yep. She's written. So clearly... was unhappy that I was away. Yeah. And, you know, more salt in the wound. She put a pee in my Thompson.
which we know, grates on you something shocking. I might just like to add, too, even with the all work submitted no, she's ticked no, she couldn't even write next to there, obviously, due to the absence and stuff. It's kind of like, how can I kick him while he's down without kicking him too hard?
Look, I used to take pride in my results, and even though I didn't love ceramics, I still remember reading that and being really frustrated. Yeah. You wouldn't write sarcasm like that on a report anymore.
No, though, would you? No way. You wouldn't get away with it. Imagine that. I want to finish with your anecdote too. My year 7 report was the worst report I ever got, to the point where my parents actually grounded me and threatened that if I ever got marks like that again, I would be grounded for about 3 months. And all I was doing, mate, in maths and all my other classes, was mucking around. I think I got E's and D's and even U's, which is actually an ungraded. Suffice to say, mate, I had some bad ones. I never did that ever again. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but your pig didn't break, Adam.
My pig didn't break, though. Yeah.
So if you've got some horror stories from your high school and primary school reports, please share them. And I will take some photographic evidence of these reports so you can actually see that it's all true.
So, Rick, that brings an end to episode 44, and a really good episode. I know we went a little bit long tonight, but after having a fortnight off, we end up having a little bit more to talk about.
We did, and we'd just like to let our listeners know that we'll be having another week off next week for busy reasons, and we'll be back the following week. So we will see you in a fortnight, and... But please keep sharing, and obviously you can keep going back and checking up our previous episodes through iTunes, Podomatic, just find us on Facebook or Twitter.
So for me, Adam Lovatos.
Me, Rick Carter Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.